This is Serenade Radio with the best in easy listening. Now here's Mark Stein with Stein's Song of the Week.
A lot of people are surprised that it often takes two writers to write a song. After all, if you can write music, what's the big deal about writing words? Everyone uses words. But in fact, sometimes it takes three people to write a song. For two-thirds of a century, the husband and wife lyricists Alan and Marilyn Bergman have comprised two-thirds of the writing credits on some of the most distinctive songs of our time.
Round like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel.
They write hit songs.
Something's telling me it might be you. It's telling me it might be you. All of my life.
And Oscar-winning movie themes.
Memories like the corners of my mind. Misty watercolor memories of the way we were.
And number one records.
You don't bring me flowers. You don't sing me love songs.
You hardly talk to me anymore. When I come through the door at the end of the day.
They write sophisticated standards.
What are you doing the rest of your life? North and south and east and west of your life.
And they rewrite nursery rhymes.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm there was a chick, the prettiest chick I know.
Brilliant. With the exception of that last one, those songs are in Alan and Marilyn Bergman's preferred voice, a mature, reflective consideration of love with many questions along the way. What are you doing the rest of your life? Where do you start? How do you keep the music playing? But before they found that lyrical voice, they were just like any other aspiring songwriters, happy to take a crack at whatever came their way. How Alan Bergman came Marilyn Keith's way merits a song in itself. Here's me and one half of the Bergmans. Alan,
yes.
When people talk about the beginning of your partnership, it always sounds like the plot of a romantic comedy. Lou Spence was a composer.
Yes.
And he had one lyricist he wrote with in the mornings and another lyricist he wrote with in the afternoons.
That's
and
right.
One day, his morning lyricist stayed late and his afternoon lyricist arrived early. And that's how the world got Mr. and Mrs. Bergman.
That's how it started, yes. We wrote a song that day that we met, not a very good song, but we enjoyed the process a lot, and we've been writing together ever since.
But before the great catalogue of Alan and Marilyn Bergman songs, there was to be one last Alan Bergman song, written about Marilyn.
That face, that face, that wonderful face, it shines, it glows. All over the place, and how I love to watch it change expression. Each look becomes the prize of my possessions. I love that face, it just isn't fair. Forgive the way that I stare, but never will these eyes behold a sight that could replace that face, that face, that face.
That's Alan Bergman singing from a marvelous album he made a few years ago, and the lady he's singing about is Marilyn. When they met that day at Lou Spence's house, he quickly realized she wasn't just his new lyric writing partner, she was the love of his life. And when you write a great love song that's personal to you, you want a great artist to put it over. So Alan decided to start at the top with a personal hero of his, Fred Astaire.
Fred Astaire was one of the great singers. People don't realize that, but the literature of popular music without Fred Astaire would be...
Yeah, no, no. Well, you realize that because he became a pop singer for you.
Yeah.
Yours is the only song that of Fred Astaire's that's not connected with
a movie.
Or a movie.
Yeah. He was very sweet about that, I must say. Lou and I went to see him, and he said, "I love songs as songwriters." He said, "I'll listen, but I only sing what's in a movie." And he owned a record company at the time. And we played this song for him, and he said, "I'm going to record this next week."
And he didn't just record it. He loved it so much, he put it in the act.
That face, that face, that wonderful face. It shines, it glows all over the place. And how I love to watch it change expressions. Each look becomes the prize of my possession.
And so a song by two unknown writers joined Night and Day, The Way You Look Tonight, One for My Baby, They Can't Take That Away From Me, and a zillion others as the last great standard to be introduced by Fred Astaire. Having heard Alan Bergman's final lyric without Marilyn, let's hear a Marilyn Bergman lyric pre-Alan. This hasn't endured quite as well as That Face, but it is undoubtedly the best song ever written about Gene Autry's four-legged friend, and any kid who was in front of a TV set in the 50s and 60s can still bellow along with the chorus.
Champion, the wonder horse, champion, the wonder horse. Like a streak of lightning flashing across the sky, like the swiftest arrow whizzing from a bow, like a mighty cannonball he seems to fly. You'll hear about him everywhere you go. The time will come when everyone will know the name of Champion, the Wonder Horse. Champion, the Wonder Horse.
It's all very well making stars of stallions, but the Bergmans were about to begin a flurry of songs for the preeminent interpreter of American popular music, a flurry of songs that culminated in a great standard with a great and unique couplet. The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. It's not flashy or exhibitionist like Lawrence Hart or Cole Porter, but it is unique. No one had ever thought to write that before. And set to Lou Spence's notes, it's both novel and utterly natural, which is the trick of good lyric writing. Simply hold your horses. Had Marilyn ever had to hold Champion the Wonder Horse? I don't know. But in this case, they were working with a real champ, Frank Sinatra.
Let's take it nice and easy. It's gonna be so easy for us to fall in love. Hey, baby, what's your hurry? Relax and don't you worry. We're gonna fall in love. That's safe to say, but let's make all the stops along the way. The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime, 'cause nice and easy does it every
His manager put out a call, and I think to all over the country, in 1960 it was. Frank was about to make a kind of lightly swinging love song album, and they wanted a title song. And so they asked many songwriters to, you know, to write a song. And, you know, writing for Frank Sinatra, it's really like a custom-made suit. He had such a personality and such, you knew what he what would sound good in his voice and the attitude of the song. And we wrote Nice and Easy, and he liked it a lot, and it became the title song of that album.
Yeah, and it's an interesting song because, as I understand it, he took the tempo wasn't necessarily what you'd had in mind, what you'd heard in your head as the three of you were writing.
No, that's true. Yeah, and he did a little faster, and he was right. he and Nelson Riddle, who did the arrangement.
And you were actually there in the studio when he was working out the ending, where he was doing all that
yes.
one more time Count Basie business.
Yes, he was very sweet to us, because he called us the kids. And ever since that recording session, we were the kids, you know. He would call us sometimes and say, I need something, could you do it? And it was always the kids. We had dinner with him when we were in our 70s, and he still called us the kids.
I would think, actually, it's quite. It gets nicer as you get older.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does that. You made a. You said you wrote it with him in mind. You made a terrific record of Nice and Easy a couple of years ago. And one of the things that if people listen to that, you sing, and there's a little bit of an instrumental break, and then you come back and you start singing a second set of lyrics about sitting back, no need to race, future's looking rosy, bells are bound to chime. And they're not on the Frank Sinatra record.
Sit back, let it happen, no need to race, I feel it's all just falling into place. So let's start getting cozy, the future's looking rosy, those bells are bound to chime, 'cause nice and easy does it, nice and easy does it, nice and easy does it every time.
Sit back and let it, and let it happen. No need to race. I think we're all just falling into place. Yeah.
Did Frank Sinatra ever see those lyrics?
No, he never did. You know, as we progressed writing and so on, we always felt that the singer tells a story on the first chorus, and it would be good to write something fresh when the next bridge comes and out. We just feel it's better for the singer to have something new to say in telling the story when they're singing. Barbara Streisand really got us into that habit. She said, write something different there for me. And we started to do that.
She doesn't like reprises. And she doesn't like just singing the first chorus and then coming back and singing it a second time.
Because you've already said it, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
And it's time for something new, a new idea, a new verse, a new bridge.
Thank you.
Rosie. Those bells are bound to chime. 'Cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it.
Yeah, I remember this goes back to one of the first songwriting teams, but Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yes.
I can't remember which show it was now, but a reprise had been scheduled, and the singer asked Gilbert, as Barbara Streisand might, if she could have a second set of lyrics for the reprise, and he said, "Reprise means sing it again." That was W.S. Gilbert's view of the matter. But Nice and Easy, a lot of people write songs for Sinatra, and he recorded 1,500.
Yes.
What's the difference when one fits him like a glove, and if a space alien arrives and says, "Who was this Frank Sinatra guy?" Nice and Easy is one of those songs that tells you who he is. How do you know when you've got it that right, as it were?
Well, there were certain attitudes that he had. He took every song and made it, not only made it his own, but he communicated. He was a great storyteller, which is the secret of singing, really, is communicating what you're singing about. You know, the best singers have three things. They have the instrument, the heart, and the intelligence in those three places. That's what makes one different than the other, one better than the other.
And it must, when you're there watching him and it's a new song, as Nice and Easy was, in a sense you're watching that process in action, because he's actually discovering his approach to the song in front of your eyes in that situation.
Yes, absolutely. And the more he sings them, the more well-rounded the performances are, you know?
The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime. 'Cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time. Let's try it once more. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time. Isn't that better, baby?
What about with something like Nice and Easy? You're on the other side of the glass. You're the guys who supply the words. and he's added that little bassy end, one more time thing in. That presumably never occurred to you when you were writing it?
No, hardly.
Are you one of these people, like certain writers, that, well, you mentioned Richard Rodgers. He didn't like it if people did anything different with his stuff. I mean, what's your attitude the song floats free of you in that way, as it were?
Yeah, but that's part of the persona again. That's part of the performance. And it enhances what he is doing.
Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time. Like the man says one more time. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time.
we should probably say at this point a few words about Lou Spence.
Yes.
Because I didn't know him. I think I had one conversation with him. And he has had a kind of slightly odd career because yes. he was a successful composer who then decided, as a kind of rather unusual midlife crisis, that he'd prefer to write lyrics. And he switched around. But at the time... you and Marilyn were writing with him. He was a music man.
Absolutely, yes, and very good. He was odd, too. we wrote many things. Love Looks So Well on You and a Sentimental Baby, I think.
Because you were, I don't know whether you were a permanent team, as it were, at that time, but you certainly... had a kind of good run with Sentimental Baby and Love Looks So Well on You and Sleep Warm and Nice and Easy. Yeah. I mean, so that's like a pretty...
yeah.
That's a nice little collection.
Sometimes, you know, you find that you want other voices, musical voices. So I think we were searching, Mal and I...
This was the composer's favorite version, not Sinatra, but the country singer Charlie Rich.
Let's take it nice and easy. It's gonna be so easy for us to fall in love. Hey baby, what's your hurry? Relax and don't you worry, we're gonna fall in love. We're on our way to romance, and that's safe to say. But let's make all the stops along the way. Problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime. 'Cause nice and easy does it.
You are associated, I think, with a particular mature, reflective kind of song, that a kind of mature perspective on romance with things like The Way We Were or Where Do You Start? And these little songs you wrote for Frank Sinatra at the end of the 50s, beginning of the 60s, do you and Marilyn today sit back and still enjoy Old MacDonald and Nice and Easy? And
well, you know, that's... You're on your way to finding your voice, the singular voice that you want to.
We're on our way to romance, and that's safe to say. But let's make all the stops along the way. The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Maybe every time.
Gene Kelly, he was very instrumental in our career, and he loved that song, Nice and Easy. But I play tennis every day. I still do. And there was a place where in the 60s that I played tennis every weekend, and Gene was one of the players. And he said to Marilyn and I just finished a picture in France, and there's a young composer coming over here to do a little work on it with me. And I think you and he could write great things together. I'm going to introduce you to him. And he introduced us to Michel Legrand.
Oh,
that's how it happened.
Right, because of the young girls of...
Rochefort. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've been writing with him. That's almost 50 years ago. We did the Thomas Crown Affair, where we wrote The Windmills of Your Mind with Michel Legrand. And Frank was the one who, on the Oscar show, gave us the Oscar.
The Windmills of Your Mind, music by Michel Legrand, lyrics by Alan and Marilyn Bergman. And as little more we can add to this thing, and the winner is Michel Legrand and Alan Marilyn Bergman for The Windmills of Your Mind.
Sure, he handed it to Marilyn, and Marilyn said, "Oh, it's heavy." She almost dropped it.
I gather you thanked him for Nice and Easy on the Oscar night as you were.
Yeah, I did. Off. You know, it was a night where we never expected to win, and it was the first time we were nominated, so that makes it easy.
Let's take it nice and easy. It's gonna be so easy for us to fall in love. Hey baby, what's your hurry? Relax and don't you worry. You're gonna fall in love. We're on the road. That's safe to say, but let's make all the stops along the way. The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime. 'Cause nice and easy does it every time. We are on that road to romance. That's safe to say. But let's make all the stops along the way. The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime. 'Cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time.
A song from Me to You that could stand as the very credo of this radio station. Nice and Easy does it every time. Music by Lou Spence, words by Alan and Marilyn Bergman, and a song that led from a composer's morning lyricist meeting his afternoon lyricist via Frank Sinatra and Gene Kelly on the tennis court to Michel Legrand and a great songwriting team finding its unique voice in the windmills of their minds.
Stein's Song of the Week was presented by Mark Stein and produced for Serenade Radio by Brian Savin.